something that's been on my heart. And you better hold on to your seat this morning, because I want to do an exegesis off the Word of God and allow the Word of God to speak. These are not my thoughts. This is the Word of God. I hope at the end of this service that you will be sure that you know, that you know that you are a child of God. If there's any waver of doubt in your spirit, in your faith, that today you will be established in grace, in knowing that you are His. Amen. Knowing that God is with you. But I want to draw your attention, and it would be good if you have your Bible, even if it's electronically there on your phone or whatever. Though I just like the written word before me. You call me old-fashioned or what, but I just love the book. Amen. So I want you to keep your Bibles open to 2 Peter and chapter 1. And we're going to be looking this morning at the first 10 verses. Now, the reason why I say to you to hold on to your seat, because I'm going to challenge you this morning. I want to make sure that everyone in this room, if you've said you've come to know Jesus and come to know His forgiveness and come to know His life, that you know that you're on your way to heaven. Amen. I don't want anybody lost. I don't want anybody lost. I don't want to get to heaven one day and to give an account before the Lord and not to fulfill my responsibility as the preacher of the Word and of the Gospel. I'm making it abundantly clear today that you can know that you are a Christian. Amen. Now, there may be a question mark over faith. And if there is, we're going to explain that from 2 Peter. And today you might need to make a prayer of repentance, of faith, and say, Lord, I come to you. May I know the witness of your Spirit in my heart that I am a child of God. Last Sunday, we looked at foundations. Amen. And the whole theme was built on foundations. You saw us take part here. You saw me building a wall. The box I had, it was a good foundation for the bricks that I put on it. And the whole thing was based on Christ's words when He said, if you do these things that I say to you, your house is like built on a rock. But if you hear these sayings of mine and don't do them, your house is built on sand. Both houses look the same until the storm comes, until adversity comes. And the storm will challenge your faith as to what foundation you have in life, whether it's rock or sand. How can I be sure that I am a Christian and I have what I will describe as real faith? Because maybe in this room today, some of you have faith, but it's not real faith. Some of you may believe in God. You may believe in Jesus. The Christology of what you believe in is perfect and good. However, is it real faith? And so, with those thoughts in mind, we're going to read from 2 Peter chapter 1. Hopefully this thing is on. It is on because here we are, okay. I put this on a transparency on Friday, and I can't remember what version it is. I thought it was the New Living Translation. It's definitely not the King James or the New King James, which I use. For the life of me, I couldn't remember what the translation was. So I'm going to have to read it from the screen. I can assure you, it's the Word of God. Amen. Listen, I'm writing to you who share the same precious faith we have, This faith was given to you because of the just and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus, our Lord. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by the means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patience. Patience, endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop this way are short-sighted, are blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you are really among those God has called and chosen. Do these things, and you will never fall away. Amen. We know God will add His blessing to His precious word. Listen to what Peter said there in verse 10. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. And if you do these things, you will never fall. Now, we're going to keep the word open as we look at what Peter is trying to tell us. Is it just a question of having faith? You might say, well, I believe in God. I believe in God. Many people believe in God. People believe in Jesus. People believe in His virgin birth. People believe in His death and resurrection. People believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So is it just a matter of faith? I want you to know what James said, and he made it quite clear. It's not just faith. James said, well, let me find it. But when someone will say, you have faith and I have works, show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. But even the demons believe, and they tremble. So we see right away, it's not just a question of faith, because we know the devil believes. But is the devil a Christian? No. But listen to the phrase that James uses. You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. I want you to search your heart diligently this morning as you've come to all nations to be encouraged and edified, that you might know Christ and the power of His resurrection, that you may know for certain, as we talked last Sunday, that he is the cornerstone, the foundation of our lives. Note what Peter said. The New King James puts it like this: if you do these things, you will never stumble. Amen. You see, faith by itself is dead. But faith in action, faith expressing itself through love and works, confirms the reality of true faith. Saving faith in my life. And faith in Christ will bring about an inner transformation in my life that will change my mindset, my behavior, my character. Because if any man be in Christ, he is what? He is a new person. Old things are passed away. All things become new. And Peter says here in verse 5, again, the New King James says it like this: add to your faith, add to your faith, add to your faith. I want you to note, and please don't misunderstand what Peter and James are trying to say. It is not faith plus works. That is religion. To go down that road is denying the finished work of Jesus. We know that when Jesus offered up the perfect sacrifice, he sat down. Amen. His finished work is completed. We are made righteous in what he accomplished on the cross. So it's not faith plus works. It is faith that works. Big difference. Huge difference. Paul said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You can't work it out unless, first of all, God has worked it in. And the moment you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, God, by his Spirit, worked into your life his so great salvation and righteousness. Amen. And by faith, I work it out in my daily life by how I live, in my attitude, in my mindset. And so Paul says, work it out with fear and trembling. I want you to note, let's look at verse 2. He said, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue. Listen to what Peter says. He says, grace and peace be multiplied. Here in verses 2 and 4, Peter is explaining that God has done his part in supplying all that we need. And we say amen and yes to the promises of God. Because the promise of God in him are amen and yes. But God has done everything in supplying all that we need. And so Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied. And at the end of his letter, what does he say? Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so right away we see that Peter wanted these believers to grow. He wanted them to abide and understand God's grace. He wanted them to know God more in their individual lives. He wanted them to keep going forward, not drifting back to destruction, but going forward. And church, God wants you to keep going forward. Amen. Keep growing. Keep adding. Keep growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so we see from the opening comments in his letter, his goal for the church is simple: to obtain life and become godly people. And he shows the source of this life and godliness is God's divine power. As his divine power has given to us all Let's say all. Come on, church. All things. I don't often ask for a response, but I need to. Because you need to understand what God has done for you. Amen. All things for life and for godliness. So he shows us the source of this life and godliness is God's divine power. And he shows us the means by which this power produces life and godliness through the knowledge of God himself. Listen, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of God who called us by glory and virtue. You see, church, the Christian life and the Christian journey is not just about believing a set of doctrines. It is about a power to experience, a power that will change your life, power to live the life that God wants you to live, power to be changed from the inside out. And how is this power experienced? Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Grace being multiplied in our lives is God's free power that works for us for good day by day. The way that grace becomes active in our lives day by day is through the knowledge of God. And that's why we sang this morning some of those songs that were encouraging us to know God more. Amen. To know God more. It's not just about putting your hand up in a meeting and moving on. It's knowing God more. The source of this new life is God himself. In him we live, move, and have our being. We say that as, you know, we can forget what we're saying. Listen, in him we live, move, and have our being. Our identity is in him. Amen. We know we are kept by the power of God unto what? Unto salvation. And we know that we are not sufficient in ourselves. In fact, we are totally bankrupt spiritually. That's when we were without strength. Christ died for us. Because there is nothing good in us. Nothing. We are insufficient to advance the kingdom of God or to know God. But thank God our sufficiency is in him. Listen to what Paul said. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being from ourselves. But our sufficiency, all that we need, is from God. Amen. Who has also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Amen. This new covenant of whereby we know God, knowing sins forgiven, knowing the assurance that God is our God and we are his people. Amen. We don't live by a set of rules and regulations. We are under a new covenant, a covenant of grace, a covenant that will show itself in how I live of knowing God. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. I have married another. I was under the law, but I'm no longer under the law. I've married another. I've died, amen. Therefore, I can marry another. And who have I married? I have married the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that what Paul said in Romans 7? And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always... Let me stop there, church. Are we getting it? God is able because God is God. He has given to us His Spirit, His Word, everything that we need for life. God is able to make all grace, not just some, but all grace abound toward you. Amen. You here at All Nations this morning, you who are going through a hard time, a difficult time, you who are going through a storm, God is able because He has given all sufficiency in all things. We may have abundance for every good work. Did you get that last little phrase? You see, faith is not passive. Faith is active. Active. It's no good saying, I'll put my hand up in a meeting, I now have faith, I'm a Christian. No. No. It takes more than just lifting a hand up. It takes an experience of knowing God's grace coming inside and changing you. And you know, you know that you are a Christian because the Spirit of God will witness in your heart that you are a child of God. Listen to what Peter said, verse 4. By these, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises. What promises? Precious promises. We know that the promises of God are amen. The promises of God are yes. That's why we say amen. That's why we say yes, because it's God's yes to everything that we need. Promises of eternal life. We know from Ecclesiastes that God has placed eternity in our hearts. So we're not empty. We're not discontent. God has placed eternity in our hearts. You see, eternal life is not just something we experience in the future when we die. Eternal life is present now. It is a quality of life that I know right now before death. God does not leave us on our own. He is not a passive onlooker. He is at work in our lives. Listen to what Paul said, and we did quote it before. Therefore, my beloved, you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. In other words, when I'm not around, keep working. Yeah, when I'm not around, don't you be lazy. You see, Paul was fearful that they would only show good and be good and behave themselves when he was around. You know, some people can be like that when the pastors are not around. But here Paul was fearful that they would work and they would be good when he's not there. And he said to them, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for, listen, this is what I want you to get, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll read it again. Listen. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Amen. And so Peter says, by which were given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God has saved us. God has rescued us. We are partakers of the divine nature. Now, let me stress and listen to me, because you can hear it said in different Christian circles that when you come to faith in Christ and have God's faith, that you become a god. Nonsense. Listen to me, and listen to me well. Being partakers of the divine nature does not make you a god. Being a partaker of the divine nature means that God has placed His nature in us, in that we are born again of the Spirit, and we will be holy as God is holy. We are made alive by the Spirit of God, the living God, but it does not make us little messiahs. Okay? And therefore, because God has done his part in supplying all that we need for life and godliness, we must do our part. And this is where Peter comes to the letter of our responsibility of putting our energy into adding to our faith because God is at work in our lives. He says, for this very reason, verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue, knowledge, self-control. And he goes on to mention seven things whereby we should add to our faith. That's the version we read earlier on. So make every effort to apply the benefits of these promises to your life. Listen, if God has done a work of grace in your life, it will be seen in how you live. If a changed life is not the outcome of faith, then there is a question mark over your understanding of what faith is. Because faith, real faith, is not passive. And when God's grace is at work in your life, it will be seen in your thirst after the living God. Amen. It will be seen in your desire to feed after God and to feed on Jesus. Amen. And so here in verse 5 to 7, Peter describes how we should live. And he mentions 8 things, beginning with faith and ending with love. See, love will be the outcome. Love is in essence. If I have love, I will have self-control. Amen. If I have love for God, there will be godliness. Amen. If I have love, there will be brotherly kindness. If there is love in me, then I will have more knowledge and wanting to know God more and more and more. Amen. And so he says, add to your faith. The literal translation there is to furnish your faith with virtue. Furnish your faith with virtue. Furnish your faith with self-control, with godliness. Make every effort to grow and to go forward. Now, the other night, we were at one of these places you could eat as much as you want. I'm suffering. I'm really suffering. I think I went up there a few times. You know, when you come to the dessert place, they've got one of these chocolate fountains. They give you a stick. What do you do with a stick going to a chocolate fountain? Yeah, well, I thought, what do you do? What do you do with the stick? You add to the stick marshmallow. You got it, Nick. You add to the stick a strawberry. You add to the stick a grape. And then you dip it into the chocolate fountain. The point is this. If you just have the stick as faith and don't furnish your faith with the things that Peter describes, you're going to be barren and you're going to be unfruitful in the things of God. You need to furnish your faith. You see, you don't stand still in the Christian journey. A lot of people think, well, I'm not growing much, but I'm just getting by. No, listen to me and listen to me well. Because of the enemy in our souls, because of the enemy all around us, you are either going forward in God or you're drifting back. That's the way it is. There's no standing still just doing the same thing. You are either going forward in God or you're drifting back. And in our age of friendly or customer-friendly religion, we are in danger of compromising the real truth of real faith and repentance just to produce results. And therefore, because of our customer-friendly religion and that spirit of the age, we therefore produce shallow Christians who have no roots and they're building their lives on sand. And maybe some don't really understand faith at all. They think they know the Lord, but they don't. Now, what happens if we fail to add to our faith and we don't make every effort into doing our part? Listen to what Peter says in verse 8. He said, "For if these things," the things that he's just mentioned, that we are to furnish our faith, "if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." Now let's recall verse 2, when Peter says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." And then he says that we can be barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me ask a question. Is it possible to start the Christian life and then become indifferent and careless and drift into destruction? And the answer is yes, 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 yes. I want you to know just very quickly in chapter 2 and verse 20, here's what Peter said. Are you ready for this? These are the verses we don't like to read because we don't really understand what it's trying to say. Don't worry, church. If you've got real faith, I'm going to end with a good positive. Amen. So hold in. Don't get all fearful on me. Listen to what Peter said. He said, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning." Did I just read what I... "For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them." Are you ready for this? The hard sayings of Jesus are hard to take in. The hard sayings that we want to try and ignore, and we will get on to some of those. You see, if, here's what John Piper said, if the knowledge of God's promise does not spur us on to strive against the tide of compromise, then we will be barren and fruitless and drift to our destruction. In verse 9, Peter describes the consequences of not being diligent in going forward. What are they? Blindness, short-sightedness, and forgetfulness. We grow blind with no understanding, no insight. We go through the motions of being a Christian, but we don't really know God, and we have forgotten that we were forgiven. See, Jesus said this, and again, we try and not read it, but we can't help reading it because it's the words of Jesus. And this is where discipleship comes in. We don't want people just raising a hand and having no experience of grace in God. We want people to become disciples here at All Nations. Don't hear too many amens there. We want people to become disciples. Not just make decisions. And Jesus said this, not everyone who says to me, what do they say? Lord, Lord. Surely they're a Christian. They said, Lord. But listen to what he said. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many, not some, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? And done many wonders in your name? Oh boy, these were people who were moving with signs and wonders and doing all sorts in the name of Jesus. And what did Jesus say? Don't overthink, dear friends, just because there is a miracle that there is authenticity of faith. It's not. Because even the devil can do miracles. We know that from Revelation. And Jesus said, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So I better bring it to a conclusion. What is Peter trying to say? Are you ready? Because as pastors, we are responsible for your souls. And if any of you are lost because it's our fault, it's our blood on our hands. Because we're the watchmen. You need to check your foundations. You need to check if you have real faith, saving faith. Peter says we become short-sighted. We start to view life from a short-term perspective. We lack wisdom that brings objectivity and stability, and therefore we become unstable, tossed to and fro. Piper says the promises of God are swallowed up in a blur of worldly things. And we begin to forget God's forgiveness, God's love and provision and salvation. And the pleasures of the world choke the seed of God's word in our hearts. Almost finished. But I better leave we who know the Lord on some kind of positive, because listen to me, in all that I have said, this I know. And one thing I know for sure is that if God has saved me, God will keep me and God will present me before his throne. Amen. I can never be lost. Oh, glory! You may not want to say amen to that, but that's what I believe. It's what I believe. I am kept by the power of God unto salvation. It's not me who keeps me, it's God who keeps me. Listen, Therefore, in verse 10, brethren, Peter says, be even more diligent. Be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Are you going to do that, church? Has the Spirit of God provoked you today to check your heart, to check the foundations? Has the Spirit of God brought any conviction upon you just to check your foundations to ensure that you have real faith? Because if you have real faith, you're kept by the power of God in the hand of God. And nothing can take you, pluck you from the Father's hand. Amen. Glory. That's what Jesus said. Nothing. I give to my sheep eternal life. Nothing can take away what I have given. Amen. Nothing, not even death, life. Oh, nothing can take away what I have given. But this is what Peter says. Make sure. Be diligent. Come on, be diligent. Check the foundations of your faith and the confession that you've made in Jesus Christ. Make sure it's real. Make sure your experience of God is full of grace, and grace is operating in your life to establish God's salvation in you. Amen. You see, I get concerned when I hear some say, well, I'm a Christian. And when I look at lives, and I'm not referring to anybody here at All Nations, at all. I hope it's not the case. But I get concerned when I read of their drunken behavior. I get concerned when I read that they gamble and they don't feel any conviction in gambling. I get concerned when I hear that they can do this and do that, which is totally ungodly, and they say that they are a Christian. No, because Peter says, you better make sure you've got faith. Just because you say you are doesn't make you so. Be diligent. Make every effort. Be diligent to make your call on election sure. And if you do these things, what does Peter say? You shall never stumble. See, it's not a contradiction. If I have real faith, I have nothing to fear, because there is therefore now no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus. Verse 10 makes it crystal clear what is at stake if such blindness and powerlessness exists. When Peter says, be zealous to confirm your call and election, he means that our lack of diligence in expressing faith, in thirsting after righteousness, may be a sign that we are never saved in the first place. That's what he's saying. And so I say to you, as your pastor, make sure you have real faith. Amen, because when real faith is in your heart, God will be glorified. If I am truly born again of the Spirit and a member of the family of God, then I know I shall never, ever, ever be picked from His hand. How do I know this? Having faith that works. Resting in this assurance, I am His and He is mine. Knowing the witness in my spirit that I am a child of God. Don't be lazy in faith. Confirm your salvation. Make sure of it. Because if you do these things, you will never, ever stumble.